Hi, welcome to Jazz Rhythm, the best in classic jazz, old and new, and this show about Louis Armstrong as told in his own words. I'm Dave Radlauer. Through his own voice and music, Satchmo tells of his youth in New Orleans and his rise to popularity in Chicago's Roaring Twenties. Plus, we'll hear a rare live broadcast and readings from his 1939 book and, incidentally, the first jazz autobiography titled Swing That Music.
My heart gives a chill, I feel such a thrill, my feet won't keep still when they swing that music. Rhythm like that puts me in a trance, or you can't blame me for wanting to dance. From what I understand, it must be just grand to play in a band when they swing that music. I'm just happy as can be when they swing that music for me.
What was New Orleans like in those days, Louis?
When my days coming up, I thought it was beautiful, you know.
Yeah.
It was way back there in the early days, and we didn't have much money and things like that, but we lived, and like you say, I enjoyed good food. And, yeah, my mother could take 15 cents and go to the poultry market and come back and cook a meal. I mean, a big, and you have to lick your fingers, it's so good. You know what
For
I mean?
15 cents?
Yes, sir. In those days, you could take a newspaper and I'd go to the market, a fish market, and buy a whole newspaper full of fish heads. Just plain chopped off fish heads that they would use to put aside.
Yeah, that'd be garbage for them, wouldn't it?
Well, they just ain't got time to do what we did. Yeah. My mother would get the fish heads and take them home and cook them and clean them and cook them and put a lot of tomatoes, canned tomatoes in them, and call it cubillon, the Creole dish, and serve it on top of some rice. Boy, you talking about beautiful food and delicious.
No kidding.
Yes, sir. Because the next morning, I got a fresh summer to start maybe a pork chop or something, or whatever.
For breakfast, a pork chop?
Anything we can eat for breakfast is all right with us. Glad to get it.
Louis Armstrong's 1936 recording of his own composition, Swing That Music. The voice and words of Louis Armstrong featured on Jazz Rhythm in the next hour. We'll also hear Armstrong's best recordings from three decades, a rare mid-1950s broadcast, and some recent musicians inspired by Louis, as well as more interview excerpts and readings from his autobiography, Swing That Music, published in 1939. Louis was clearly one of the world's great entertainers, a major creative force in jazz, and a delightful personality. We're lucky to have his life carefully documented and his music, voice, and spirit preserved in sound recordings. This is Jazz Rhythm, the best in classic jazz, old and new. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for joining me. Incidentally, my source for the interview clips of Satchmo is a carefully edited selection compiled by traditional jazz trumpeter Leon Oakley. We'll hear him during this broadcast. Leon's a superb trumpeter and among the legion of musicians who've been charmed by the lasting influence of Armstrong's horn playing. We'll start with Louis's childhood of poverty and hard work in New Orleans. His early teens, when he was working various jobs, selling newspapers, hauling and selling junk and coal, even scavenging garbage at dumps to survive. Meanwhile, he was inspired by the plentitude of New Orleans jazz musicians playing at honky-tonks and special events and all over Storyville district of New Orleans. He played cornet at parades, parties, dances, picnics, and funerals. The reader for these excerpts is producer and radio announcer Michael Johnson. The words are Louis Armstrong, in his own words, on Jazz Rhythm.
Now, the Karnofsky family, their sons Morris and Alex, went into the business of junk peddlers out in the street buying old rags, bones, iron, bottles, any old kind of junk. Go back to the house with a big old yard, empty the wagon, pile up old rags in one place, the bottles, the bones, and the rest of the junk, all in separate places, big piles of everything. It was enough room for piles of stone coal, which the oldest son, Morris, sold in the streets as well. Especially in the red light district, mostly in the evenings, for 5 cents a bucket to the sporting women that stood in the doorways. Now, one of them would call out, "Commerce boy, bring me 3 buckets. And that was a signal for me to go into them cribs and for an extra quarter start some fires. And I'd take my little quick peek, you know, and all scared she'd catch me, slap me, and shove me out of there, but they didn't pay me no mind. And when I'd be on the junk wagon with Alex Karnofsky, I would blow this long toy tin horn. It was a call for old rags and bones, bottles, anything people and kids had to sell. The kids loved the sound of my tin horn. They would stand around the wagon while I'd entertain them.
We only got 15 cents a load.
15 cents a load?
Taking way up in the rich sections.
Yeah?
But I was a kid about 15 years old, and I'd drive.
What happened to
my mule named Lady, and I'd drive.
What was the mule's name? Lady?
Lady. And at 12 o'clock, I'd had my little sack ape on and my can for my beer and a ham sandwich. And it was
what'd the mule get?
Well, he got hay and oats.
You carry that with you?
No, he got his meals on time like everybody else.
Like everybody else. Well, what happened when 6 o'clock the night came around?
6 o'clock, I don't care where it was. If it was around that stable, I'd say, "Get up here." He'd say, "Are you kidding?"
I've got those cold card blues. I'm really all confused. I'm about to lose my very mind. It always worry me all the time. These blues will make you cry, feel just like you don't wanna scream. Of course the cart was hard and it almost killed me up, but just to leave it go, boy, it was my cup. I've got those cold cart blues till I really don't know what to do.
Coal Cart Blues, Louis' own composition, talking about his days as a young teenager in New Orleans. He wrote that about 1915. He was also accompanied there by the wonderful Sidney Bechet, his longtime acquaintance, on clarinet. Sidney played clarinet and soprano sax interchangeably. This is Jazz Rhythm, the best in classic jazz, old and new. I'm Dave Radlauer. Next, young Louis' early years playing in honky-tonks, parades, and funerals, as he recalls some of New Orleans' most colorful musicians and unique traditions. The first tune is the Texas Moner Blues, Clarence Williams' Blue Five from 1924. This was the first session that paired Louis Armstrong and Sidney Bechet, the two greatest early masters of New Orleans jazz.
As a young boy coming up, the people I worked for were very much concerned about my future in music. They could see that I had music in my soul. They wanted me to be something in life, and music was it. I wondered how I would do blowing a real horn, a cornet. One day I was on the wagon with Morris Karnofsky. We passed a pawn shop which had in its window an old, tarnished, beat-up B-flat cornet. It only cost $5. Morris advanced me $2 in my salary, then I put aside 50 cents a week from my small pay, and finally the cornet was paid for in full. Man, I was a happy kid. Although I couldn't play a good tune, Morris used to applaud me just the same. That made me feel so good. After blowing into it for a while, I realized I could play Home Sweet Home, then come the blues. And from then on, I was a mess, just tooting away. I kept that horn for a long time. I played it all through the days of the honky-tonks.
Oh, I was playing in Henry Matranga's honky-tonk.
Oh, I see.
At Perdita Franklin, see? Yeah. And now when that man would get in, that's how I got to get in with some of these greats, you know, like Sam Dutre, Joe Oliver, Buddy Petit, all them boys was blowing, you know. But they all were, they had so many gigs. You know, we had 106 bands of combination of six pieces like that, and it was all working. That's just how much work it was in New Orleans, outside of Storyville.
Yeah.
See? So when they said go get a little Louis, I mean that substitute for one of the fellas that played with them, and quite naturally I got to know them like that. Understand? I went with Sam Dutre.
Sam Dutre is badass.
Their cornet player didn't show up that night, so they had me come up. But Sam hadn't come yet.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't know Sam Dutre there. You know, he's one of them big chested cats, you know, with the barber. He plays a lot of clarinet, you know, beautiful in the funeral. So when he come up on the stand, he looked at me and I said, little fella, you know, he said, what are you doing here, boy? I said, nothing, mister. So the other boy said, Sam, leave that boy alone. He's going to play with us tonight, you know? So Sam said, I'm just kidding, son. But I was scared of him all night.
Each corner had a band. Cabarets, they call them, see? So in the honky-tonks, later, when I got out, that's where I played in my neighborhood. Play all the bad guys and those girls walk the street out of them. But they liked me because I was young, all right, but they liked the way I played the blues. And so I never did get in no trouble and I don't know, they protected me. So.
Days they had a furniture wagon, a long wagon with all furniture. Mm-hmm. Well, they'd hire that furniture wagon for this for a six-piece band. See, they call that tailgate.
Oh, I see.
See, the bass and the trombone sit on the tailgate. They even it up.
Mm-hmm.
Then the rest of the boys in the wagon, like the drums and the guitar and the trumpet. See, and the slides sit on the tailgate so you can shove out. And he's relaxed. Say, for instance, if he give a dance and this gentleman give a dance, why, he wants his band to draw the crowd, so they chain the wheels and then make them two bands blow.
Yeah.
And the one that gets the ovation from the crowd will probably get the next night, get a crowd for the ball. Yeah. And I was just a kid digging all this, and Joe, he liked me at that time, and he was a powerful man.
Yeah.
See, well, I could play a whole lot of horn in my little way. Joe King Oliver.
Oh, I see.
See, in my days, he was the top man instead of Buddy Bolin.
Oh, I see.
See, Buddy Bolin was a great man, and Joe Oliver's dead when he was a kid.
I see.
See what I mean?
I see.
So Buddy Bolin was Joe's idol. They all had something on the ball and certain techniques. And as Joe told me about Buddy Bolin, and I noticed Joe and Manny Perez and Freddie Keppel, it was all fine. Old man Moret, see? So that's where I summed them up as I come along as a kid.
Next, we're going to bring back another New Orleans memory, the days when I was second line behind the brass bands. This is something I'll never forget. The music they played at the funerals.
The brass bands would when they played the funeral march and take a body to the cemetery playing Flee as a Bird.
Right.
Flee as a bird in the mountain.
See,
put the body in the ground and the reverend say there's ashes to ashes and so forth.
Thank you. the family's crying as they low old Brother Gate in the ground. And old Rev will say, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's too bad old Gate couldn't have stayed on earth with us. And the snare drum player, he takes the handkerchief out of the snare and roll up so the members can form in line to swing back to the hall playing Didn't He Remember?
When they play the funeral march, the snare drum, they had in the brass band, he had to put a handkerchief on the snare to deaden the tone. Then when he takes it out, then he rolls up the drums and we go back playing Didn't He Remember? The members of the lodge, when the lodge go back from the cemetery, everybody's happy. They rejoice over the dead down there.
Certainly.
So after he's in the ground and they go back to the hall, then Didn't He Remember? And then when you get to the hall, they open for a keg of beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was Louis' All-Stars, Jack Teagarden on trombone, and sounding great on clarinet, Barney Bigard, another old acquaintance of Armstrong's, a New Orleans Creole originally from New Orleans, though he'd spent quite a few years with Duke Ellington's swing-type band. Flea as a Bird and Didn't He Ramble, though they were recorded in 1947, they weren't released until later under the title New Orleans Function as part of a musical autobiography of Louis Armstrong in the mid-50s, a four-record set that was released on Decca Records. This is Jazz Rhythm, the best in classic jazz, old and new. I'm Dave Radlauer. Hope you're enjoying the words, the voice, and the music of Louis Armstrong with me. Before we get on to Louis' move to Chicago, where he became a very big star in the 20s, we'll hear a little bit more of the kind of down-home music he brought to Chicago from New Orleans. Another traditional New Orleans blues with Sidney Bechet, and his old chum Zooty Singleton on drums, the 219 Blues from 1940. First, though, Louis' Hot Five from 1925, his own Gut Bucket Blues, his wife Lil on piano, and a record devised to cater to the down-home musical tastes of the many Southern blacks who'd recently moved to Chicago, like Louis, from the South. Louis, by the way, on Gut Bucket Blues here, still under the influence of King Oliver's muted style of cornet.
Oh, play that thing, Mr. Cynthia Lord. You know you can do it. Everybody from New Orleans can really do that thing. Hey, hey.
The 219 took my baby away. The 219 took my baby away. The 217 will bring her back someday. You take the T and P, and I'll take the L and N. Mama, I said you take the T and P, and I'll take the L and N. We got to be lucky, honey, to ever meet again. Thank you.
219 Blues, a great New Orleans traditional jazz tune from 1940 with Cindy Bechet on clarinet or soprano sax. Sydney sort of switched back and forth between those. We started the set with the Gut Bucket Blues, Louis Armstrong's Hot Five in 1925, and you could hear him introducing his sidemen, Kid Ory on trombone, one of the great New Orleans tailgate trombonists, Johnny Dodds on clarinet, who brought New Orleans Creole clarinet style to its apex in Chicago in the mid-20s, and Louis' wife at that time, Lil Hardin Armstrong, on piano. She also did a lot of the arranging and crucial behind-the-scenes work to make Louis' career a success after he left King Oliver. She was a very good pianist, arranger, and all-around musician. I'm Dave Radlauer. This is Jazz Rhythm. Still ahead on this program, Louis Armstrong in his own words. Louis enters the swing era and a rare broadcast from 1954. Next up, though, the story of Louis arriving in Chicago in 1922 to join King Oliver's highly successful band at the Lincoln Gardens. Then, as a sideman backing King Oliver, he became a big star on his own. Louis and Joe King Oliver, Papa Joe, as Armstrong and the other young musicians called him, became very popular with a new gimmick, as we would say today, that knocked Chicago jazz fans back on their heels. Next, the kind of stunning two-cornet lead for jazz band that was devised by Louis and King Oliver and was best heard on the records Dippermouth Blues and Snake Rag. We'll hear excerpts of both the original King Oliver Creole Jazz Band recordings of Dippermouth and Snake Rag and some more recent recordings, including one featuring Leon Oakley and Chris Tile, leader of the New Orleans Silverleaf Jazz Band, on their tribute to King Oliver.
In Chicago about 11 o'clock on the night of July 8th, 1922. I'll never forget it. King Oliver was already at work, and I had nobody there to meet me, so I took a cab and went straight to the gardens. Believe me, man, they were jumping in fine fashion. I said to myself, my God, I wonder if I'm good enough to play in that band. Now, during my first night on the job, King and I stumbled upon a little something that no two other trumpet players ever thought of together. Now, while the band was just swinging, the King would lean over to me, moving his valves on his trumpet, making notes, the notes that he was going to make when the break in the tune came. Now, I'd be figuring out my second to his lead. Now, when the break would come, I'd have my partner blend right along with his, and the crowd would go crazy. Oliver and I got so popular blending that jive together that pretty soon all the white musicians from downtown Chicago would come all over there after work and stay until the place closed. And sometimes they'd sit in with us just to get their kicks.
Thank you.
exciting snake rag, Abby Hubner's Lowdown Wizards, live in Hamburg in 1971, where the music of King Oliver was very much revered about that time. Snake Rag and Dipper Mouth, Louie and Joe Oliver's flashiest two cornet showpieces, which made them big stuff in Chicago. Snake Rag and the Dipper Mouth Blues. We heard both the King Oliver Creole Jazz Band from 1923 and Chris Tile's Silverleaf Jazz Band. Chris Tile and Leon Oakley playing in the style of Louie and King Oliver, a tribute album to King Oliver on Stomp Off.